Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Brapp, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an artist, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm okay, Cindy. How are you?
Good. Are you in the car?
Oh, yes, I am. 3 hours worth of traffic.
Oh, you're still in traffic?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, the traffic is finally broken up, but it took me, I left work at about 4:15, and I'm going to be home at about 7.
Okay, now you know why God did COVID, because he was hoping that technology would be brought up to snuff so that people would not have to commute all the time, and that some people could work from the home because the commute has been gotten ridiculous. The work days are longer than ever, and this kind of commuting is just ridiculous. It's just too long, too awful. Now, are you driving?
I'm driving.
Okay, so I want you to pay attention, and I will do all the pressing buttons.
Well, luckily the traffic didn't break up yet. You know, when I logged in, so luckily technology worked in my favor this time. And okay. I logged on through my phone. I was able to turn on your mic and get the music and everything queued up. I'm not going to be able to scream for you, but I will be here for support until I get it out.
Okay, so you're going to pay attention to when you're driving.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
You know, I should be able to maneuver everything here. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to mute people when you're the host. That's the problem for some reason. But I will do my best. So, people have been asking, how are you doing with your COVID? Are you better?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good. Good,
no
good
problem.
News. And James, who calls in sometimes, he has COVID in Florida. Yep. So he didn't catch it from us, even though he's on the show with us.
My COVID jumped through the phone.
Oh, my goodness. No, so I'm hearing quite a lot of other people with it. So everyone, please, you know, mask up, be careful, you know, and take good care of yourself.
A friend of mine, DM, she is actually she's called the Rev D on social media, and she has a company called Instant Elopements, and basically it's kind of like, you know, a little piece of Vegas in New York. And she just did a wedding this weekend. She officiated. And she found out that, the bride and the groom both came down with COVID. Half the wedding party came down with COVID. And there were quite a few guests that all came down with COVID after this weekend. So now, unfortunately, my poor friend is quarantining herself. Even though she took a negative, rapid, she's waiting for a PCR to get back just to be on the safe side. So, yeah, definitely going around. Luckily, it's mild, guys, but it's still highly contagious, so please mask up, be careful, you know, one place
and
no
test,
mask
and test. If you've been to an affair like a wedding, you have to test. That's how I found out, I wasn't sick, but I knew I'd been exposed. So that's why we have the rapid test, you know, just keep testing yourself, even if you don't think. I tested for 8 days before I tested positive, and I was never sick, so please just, you know, test and see, but, thank God you're okay. I wasn't really worried about you. I knew you'd be fine.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
for
I'm
sure.
Good. Honestly, honestly, like, once my fever broke, I was okay. Like, you know, like, the fever was the worst part. The body ache from the fever was the worst. Emma. Sorry, my dog is in the car with me, and she's yelling at me because she wants to get out of the car.
Your poor dog. You take your dog to work?
No. I had to, whatchamacallit, I had to stop off and pick her up on my way because she was getting dog sad, so we're on our way.
Wow. Wow. So we have a long weekend ahead of us. Unfortunately, the weather so far doesn't look like it's going to be great, which is a little disappointing. So let's hope. Like, today wasn't supposed to be great. It turned out to be nice. So let's just pray we have nice weather. You know,
yes,
that would be wonderful. So I'm going to see. We have a couple of people lined up. I think that 845. Oh, maybe this is Maria. I don't know. So let me just.
All right. Well, you know what? I will turn on the 845, and then I will get to my destination.
Oh, okay.
So here we go.
Hello, you're live
Hello?
And on the air. It's Cindy. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, yes, and who's this?
This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from LaGrange, New York.
Okay, so you've been waiting a long time, so you must have something on your mind. What would you like to talk with us about?
Well, I actually have quite a bit, and it's hard to, like, really narrow it down.
Start with one question at a time.
All right. I'm kind of, like, just questioning my parenting and worrying about, I have three teenagers.
Oh, God bless you, and you're still sane? You know, you haven't signed yourself into a mental hospital yet?
No,
you must be doing good with your parenting.
And I feel like I'm about to do that, though, and you know, how to support them because they just seem to be, particularly the one that graduated last year is floundering, and the one that is going to graduate this year, he may or may not graduate. And then my daughter's just entering high school, so I'm not that concerned with her. So I just I'm just wondering if what I'm doing is helpful or actually it's not enough.
Okay. Now, it's funny because only an older soul would wonder if they're not doing enough, okay? A more manipulative soul always thinks they're doing everything they can. The problem with American teenagers is they're so unhappy. I'm not sure what's going on in this country that teenagers are so miserably unhappy. And, you know, it's sad because you are a very good mother. I got the Empress card. You're a good mother. You're only 15% responsible how they turn out. So let's relax. You're a good enough mother. You're not beating them, burning them, molesting them. You're loving them and you're feeding them, okay? You're a good mother, okay? 15% is their father one way or the other. 20% is this culture, and this is a very hard culture to raise children in. It's very drug-infested, drunken, lazy, entitled, spoiled, spendaholic. People don't want to do anything they don't want to do. It's a hard culture to raise them in. And 50% is their own karma. You know, some kids coming knowing right from wrong. Others have a lot of lessons to learn. It looks like you're doing a good job. Do you talk to the one that's struggling with school? Is there a reason for this? Does this child have is the child just not doing their work? Do they have a learning disability? What is the reason that they might not graduate? Which is not uncommon. Which is pretty common right now. Okay.
Well, I mean, as a family, we actually struggle with ADHD and also some anxiety, and I think, and then he's there's no learning disability. He's strictly just not attending the school on a regular basis. He hasn't once, like, COVID hit. It was like a really big knock to him just being, like, consistently attending and then just doing the work. He just absolutely just despises the school. He just can't stand the school. And I switched him from a private school to a public school, and that I know kind of both of them I did, my two oldest, because it always has been an issue with school for them. Like, I was always having to, like, constantly help and just be a part of it. But not helicopter help, just always kind of, because I'm an educator myself, so I tried to always have a balance of, like, okay, they got to be responsible, but yet I got to kind of just, you know, help them along to a certain point. And, I still keep talking with him, like, you know, where do you think this is going? Are you talking to your teachers to see, you know, if you have enough credits? Because, you know, high school is basically credit bound. And I don't know if he's, like, kind of self-sabotaging, too, because he doesn't really know what he's going to do next.
Right. And he's also, there's a lot of depression showing up in his cards.
Yes.
And, you know, he's depressed, he's anxious. And, you know, it looks to me like he's got a lot of OCD, by the way, which, not the kind where you're going to, some OCDs do all their schoolwork and they do really well with their OCD. Other ones get so depressed and anxious that it's harder for them to do their work. And he's a little on the lazy side, too, according to his spirit guides. Do you realize he could be lazy?
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes he doesn't want to do the work. But, it looks like he's going to have trouble, you know, graduating at this point.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
what I just saw is, unfortunately, he doesn't look like he's going to graduate. Now, is he going to – it looks like there will have to be summer school or something else. But if he's not doing his work, it's going to be hard just to get him to get through this. Have you talked to any of his teachers or anything to find out? Because he's not telling you the truth, but it doesn't look great here.
I think he's at the point of just overwhelmed and denial, and he kind of just tells me what he thinks I want to hear, which is not the case. You know, it's like,
which is
I'm
a typical teenager manipulation, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
And the thing about it, he has to be held accountable for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he is practicing a lot of denial. I mean, you're an educator. I'm not sure what's going on in America that so many kids don't want to do their work. What happened? People used to want to learn. I'm not sure why children don't want to do their work and don't learn. This is something that I deal with a lot with my clients. Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot. And they're educated parents. It's not like parents didn't go to school, and they don't even know how to deal with this, because I know that you did your schoolwork. I'm sure I did my schoolwork. You don't even know why someone wouldn't want to do their schoolwork. It's part of your job. But when you have a lot of OCD, which looks, it can be an attention deficit, because with OCD, you're not living in the now. You're dreading the future. What happens? What if this, what if that, what if this? You're living in the past. If only I had done this. If only I had done that. If only I hadn't done this. You're not living in the now. So it's hard to focus because your mind is everywhere, okay? And so it looks to me like, you know, he's at the age when you're about ready to graduate from high school, OCD gets really bad because it's really a worry. It's a worry. And it's also a fear of death and dying. We just went through COVID, which kicked everybody's OCD off the charts, okay? Not just his, everybody's is up. So he's worrying about, what am I going to do when I leave here, this and that. So he's having really hard time focusing. But, you know, it's a reality check that, you know, maybe he's just waiting until, you know, you see what happens. But it looks like there'll have to be some summer school depending on how many classes he didn't do. Now, he's not sure he wants to go to college, correct? Because I'm not seeing that he wants to go to college here yet. Does he tell you what he wants to do? Has he have any idea what he might want to do?
Well, I mean, he mentioned he wanted to be a phys ed teacher.
Okay, so then there'll have to be some college. But the thing about it is, he's not suddenly going to get good study habits when he goes to college. You know, like he's...
Right.
it's going to be a trouble. So is he thinking of a community college, something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I set actually both of them up. They're only 14 months apart, him and his brother. And, you know, he gets the one you're talking about now gets angry a lot at his older brother, saying that, you know, he hasn't been a good example for him. You know, he doesn't have anybody to look up to.
Okay,
you know.
This is typical teenagers. They're all pretty unfixable. Unfixables are manipulative, judgmental, and not accountable. We hope they overcome this by the time they're 25. But he can't blame anyone, for not being a role model, okay? It's like that kind of thing is passing the blame onto someone else and not being accountable. I mean, he really doesn't do his work is what I see here. It's plain and simple. He's very bright. He's very intelligent. It's nothing like that. But he doesn't go to class. He doesn't do his work.
No.
So it's – and the thing about it is I don't understand what's happened in America that kids don't think they have to do their schoolwork. They think they could just do nothing. I mean, I don't know where this is coming from, but it's an astronomical problem. We have tremendous rates of high school dropouts. You know, it's a tremendously high statistic of it, which is frightening.
And
I again,
think particularly with males.
Right. And why is this? I mean, this is not just you. This is a huge problem. And, you know, it's why are they not motivated to learn? Why are they so turned off by school that, you know, if nothing else when you leave school, it should make you want to learn. You should be, you know, filled with wanting to learn. But, you know, what has he been diagnosed with, like, in terms of, like, because it looks like he's an OCD, what I see here, and he's anxiety and depression are symptoms of the OCD. And OCD is like a lot of behavior modification. What's on your plate today, the same cure for this is alcoholism, one day at a time, let go, let God.
High. In our family, both sides.
Okay, and again, there's different kinds of OCDs. There's, you know, everyone's got some level of it, a scale of 1 to 10. Everybody's got about a level 3. And it's not bad. It's what makes me obsessive as a writer to make sure there's not a million grammatical mistakes. I want a doctor who's OCD, make sure he counts sponges in and out. For work, it's great, but it's a scale of 1 to 10, and 3 is manageable. But your sons look like he starts out as a 5 or a 6 already. Like, it's not a constant OCD. Under stress, everybody's kicks up. Your 3 might become a 5. But his 5 becomes an 8, and when it's that high, it's hard to function. And again, he doesn't need deep psychological counseling, because I'm not seeing that your kids have had great trauma, by the way. They actually have had a pretty nice childhood here, okay? So let's remove this from your mothering. This is his genetic component. Why does one child get the genetics of mental illness or some kind of illness? It's because it's part of their karma to get that. Another child might not get this. And so if you could get someone, a therapist who could deal in behavior modification with him, like what's on your plate today, what do you need to do? Because what happens is he fell so far behind that he can't catch up.
He can't.
Okay. He's having like the nightmare that you might have sometimes, like you haven't studied and you got to take your final and you're going to fail. Like, but his life is, okay?
Yeah.
And he just fell so far behind. You know, COVID pushed up everybody's fear of death and dying. So everybody's went up the charts a little bit. OCDs don't like change. He's got a lot of change on his plate with this age. There's hormonal things going on. So it's the worst it ever is right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's just getting down to the brass tacks with him. Let's be honest. How many classes do you think you're going to fail? And then figure out summer school or another semester what he's got to do. But he almost doesn't know how to fix this right now. He's just so far behind, it's almost impossible. And so starting over again, taking a few classes over, but it's maybe getting him and you to go to the school and discuss it a little bit and come up with a plan. I mean, you know, I don't know how he feels about getting a GED, but, you know, something here that's got to give. He just, also, you should have been notified more that what he was failing and things like that. So you could have had a little more grip on this.
Yeah. No, I have been. I've been continuously really, I have been working on it. And it just seems like he'll get ahead and then something will occur where he's, you know, like how they had to, you know, stay out with COVID. For, like, you know, it's like...
OCDs need like a pattern and schedule, and it keeps throwing that off for him, and that throws him off. Let's stop questioning your parenting. You're a good mother, okay? You're good enough. Now step outside of that and figure out how we're going to fix this. Either it's summer school, it's whatever, and. You know, someone has to be more on top of him with this and maybe, you know, just look over his work. Are you doing it? I know you don't want to be a helicopter parent, but he may need a little of that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
In a positive sense. You know, and, you know, you have three kids, you're tired, you work, it's a lot. But, you know, I'm glad you called in because he has a lot of spirit guides that want to help him. But, you know, maybe you just need to put the cards on the table and say to him, look, it's been chaotic time. You've probably fallen behind. You feel overwhelmed. So let's talk with the school and let's figure out a solution here.
Yeah.
Okay. And just take it off of his plate and say, now, if he has to go to summer school, he's got to go to summer school. Okay.
Right.
And no big deal. Okay. And
no,
I think he's going to be embarrassed if he doesn't graduate with his class. He may feel a little embarrassed about that. But so what? You know, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But again, you know, is he in therapy at all?
Not at the moment, no. But I want, you know, I think he needs that support. And we try and find medicine that would help. And, like, it will help for a little bit. And then
because meds don't work for OCD. That's the problem. Yeah, maybe it'll help with the depression a little bit. Maybe something will help with the anxiety. But nothing works for the OCD. That's why a lot of alcoholics are, you know, actually OCDs. They're self-medicating. You know, it's not a good solution because the only way you're not worrying about everything is to be dead drunk. It's a terrible solution.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So really, what changes brain chemistry is behavior modification.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could get him someone who would work with him with behavior modification, and you know, that might help. But instead of you questioning your parenting, let's put it this way: he's got some of this that's making it harder for him to learn. COVID didn't help, and we've got a problem in a school system that maybe you, as an educator. Maybe God has given you this so you could see, I'm a smart mother and I'm an educator and I don't know how to deal with this. So could you imagine the average person? How are they dealing with their kids with this problem?
It comes to my head. Right. Because besides being an educator, I'll take it a step further. I'm actually a school psychologist.
Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you, if you don't know how to deal with this and you're more qualified than 99% of people, how is Joe Schmo down the block dealing with this?
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a coincidence that God has put you in this place. I think when you figure out why your son has been struggling, your other child's struggling so much, maybe you're the one God's asking to come up with some kind of a solution. And so you've been put in this, and I'm telling you, this is so common. I hear this all day long from my clients. It's not, and so I think if you could look at it as being a challenge and one day at a time, you know, one step at a time, and figuring out how your son could slip so far through a system. Like, why wasn't he being, you know, more like, okay, you're not going to graduate. Let's get you in here. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, maybe there's just too many students. Maybe there's too, but whatever it is. The point is, if you're swamped with this, everyone is. And you're just kind of going to look at it. You can tell you some, look, if you don't graduate, you know, today, you will do it. Let's just figure it out and come up with a plan now. It doesn't matter.
Right.
What difference does 6 months make in the long run of your life? Nothing.
It does not.
It makes no difference. It's not a failure. And tell him it's very common right now. A lot of children have had the same problem because of COVID and the online classes and the blah, blah, blah. So it's just a bad timing perhaps for you. And instead of blaming him, and please, we can't help our children if we blame ourselves. Okay, then we're so ridden with guilt, we don't know how to help them.
Yeah, I do feel at times paralyzed like that. So I got to get rid of that one.
Get rid of that one. And do us a favor and call in again, like after you've spoken to him. Maybe just get, you know, maybe just, he'll probably feel greatly relieved if he just admits, oh, my God, you're right, I can't pass. Okay, so then we're going to figure out what you're going to do. Okay?
That's right.
So,
yeah.
You know, we can't help someone until they admit there's a problem, and you're going to call him on his behaviors, though, of blaming other people. I don't have a good role model. I don't have this. No, you're going to say, no, we're accountable for us. So, you know, if you can keep it that way, and that would be really important. So call in again and let us know how you're doing about it. And I'm glad you called in, because this is such a problem, and that's why I gave a lot of time to it.
There
is something
so
wrong in education in America that children do not want to do their work. There's some, maybe it's antiquated. Maybe the way we're teaching doesn't work anymore.
So
maybe
sad. It really is.
It's sad, and it's
really
sad,
is.
and it's an astronomical problem. So call in again and let us know what happens, please. And if anything, what I want you to know is stop questioning your parenting, because that is not helping happen. And if you know, you're a good mother, and again, you know, you're educated, and it's stumping you. So you're like, huh, I'm the one that should be able to handle all this, and I don't know how to do it. Well, because this is a bigger problem than you could imagine. And so when you figure out how to deal with this, you're going to help other people as a psychologist, okay? You're going to help other people. So you're going to say, okay, this is not a failure. You fell a little behind. Okay, let's figure out how we're going to catch back up. Let's, you know, figure out another way. And this way, because otherwise they start to feel really hopeless. And
that's
contributing to his depression right now.
And
he doesn't want to feel like he's failed you or disappointed you. So just say, I'm not disappointed, you know, whatever. I just want, let's just come up with a solution. And that's it.
Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us today. And I'm going to try to get some other callers, but thank you so much. And
thank you so much for your time.
Prayers for you, and call in again, please.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Nicole, does that sound familiar to you, what we just talked about? You know, with the school and the whole problem. Oh my God, it's so hard for parents.
Listen, we have so many issues with you. Like, listen, I'm not a parent, so I don't want to chime in because I'm not a parent. You know, and I don't, you know, I don't know what it's like to be in that, you know, in that position, you know. But that being said, there's a lot that I see wrong with kids today. There's a lot that I see wrong with the educational system today. There's a lot that I see wrong with parenting today. You know, it's we have allowed in so many different ways the inmates to run the asylum.
Right.
You know, you know, but politically we've done this, we're doing this, you know, with education, we are doing this, you know, with parenting. Kids are entirely too smart for their own good. I was talking to somebody at work the other day, and, you know, basically they were retelling a story about one of their kids' friends, okay, because they raised their kids very, very, you know, kind of like the same school that you and I, you know, would have been raised in, Cindy. And, you know, one of his buddies was kind of, you know, sitting there and saying how, you know, this is really, really sucks. I don't know what to do with my kid. You know, he's failing this, he's failing that, and blah, blah, blah. I threatened to take his phone away. And he said, well, then I'll call CPS on you. That's my personal property. And went on and on and on about all the statutes as to why he's going to call CPS for getting his phone taken away. I mean, this is the mentality of children today, you know, and he did it. He actually called CPS and said that he was being abused, okay, because he didn't have a phone to make a call in a case of emergency.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was, that's funny.
So I think
that
there's a lot wrong. And even the fact that kids think that that's okay is a problem. You know, the fact that, that schools, you know, are the bare, I don't even know what the hell schools are doing. I feel bad for teachers, man. I really, really do, because you've got one school of teachers that just wants the reins and they just want to do the right thing. And then you've got a whole another school of teachers that, that are phoning it in because they're overworked and underpaid. You know, like it really, really, it's a tough job, you know, to be with other people's children all day long. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know where the hell we went wrong, but something needs to be changed across the board, because it's not just the school. It's not just the parents. It's not just the home. It's not just the kids. It's a combination. It's a deadly toxic combination of all of those things together. They're literally picking the worst parts of each, and that's what they're rolling with.
No, it's true. And that's why, you know, I found it very interesting that she wasn't, you know, a psychologist and in the school system, and she doesn't know how to deal with it. It just shows you who, if she doesn't know, how does anybody else know? Do you know what I mean? And you know, and the frustration that people feel is astronomical. So I'm so glad she called in, because I just think I've been dealing with this for the last couple of weeks with parents, and I think COVID has made it harder, and everything is harder with everything happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, just, yeah, you know, just let's hope that something gives or changes, because it's really...
I hope so. I really do.
So
you know,
now we have
I hate to sound cliche, but these kids are our future, you know, and we are, like I said, the inmates are running the asylum right now, and I don't think that there's any one fix. I really don't,
you know,
so I hope that we can come to some sort of sense and you know, and help these kids out so that they have a fighting chance.
For sure. Now we have Kristen. She's called in before, you said?
Yep, yes, Kristen, she's calling from Long Island. She called in before, and she's got a birthday on May 31st. So
wow.
She would like a birthday reading, Cindy. So here we go, out to Kristen on Long Island. Hello, Kristen,
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi, Kristen, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it's a good time for a reading, that's for sure. You know.
Yeah, I thought so.
You know, this time of year, and you know, and your new year really goes from one birthday to the next. So the interesting part about it is that's why it's so important to get a reading around a birthday, just so you can see what's in store for you. You actually have a very good 5-year period opening up. Do you have an idea of where you want to be 5 years from now? A vision?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And are you hanging on to that vision?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm determined to reach it.
Good, because career-wise, it's interesting. You got a lot of money cards. So money looks much better in the upcoming few years. Are you happy with what you're doing career-wise?
Currently, I'm saving up to work towards a career. So, I mean, I see that in the 5 years. I could see that. Oh, yeah.
And it's very good money. It's very good money. And I do see you going back to school sooner than later. Okay.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
You know, and that's important. I got the Ace of Cups, which is good love, new love. Do you want love in your life?
Yeah, I've been hoping for it for a little while now, like the beginning of the year. And so far, like nothing I can really see.
Okay. That's okay, because 2022 is the year that's supposed to be gathering soulmates. So I think it's interesting that, you know, you want love and, you know, so look at it as your 2022 really begins now with your birthday. So do you have any plans to get out there, figure out how you can find someone? Because this love is circling very close to you. Are you over your last one now? Have you mourned for that, closed it? Is that in the rearview mirror now?
Yes, yes. And you've asked me this before, and I mean, I told you, like, I have hobbies. I try to go out, you know. I mean, with COVID, it's a little hard dating. I was going to go to Home Depot and maybe ask a guy about some tools we've discussed one time. But I go out places, I smile, I try to be open to a new relationship, someone approaching me. I'm not sure if, it is someone that, like, maybe I already know, or if it's a new person and I have to be open to random people never coming up to me.
Well, have you tended to usually been in committed relationships most of your life?
I guess they're very spaced out, but
sometimes women get, because they've been in relationships, they tend to give off a vibration that they're taken. And
no,
you know, you might be
no.
giving off that vibration without being aware of it. Because,
no way.
You know, so we want to, like, you know, just smile. But I do see, you know, it doesn't look like you've missed him. In other words, like, I don't think you've been put in alignment with him yet. So that's, you know, like, this isn't going to be hard. Once, you know, once you stumble across him, it'll happen very quickly. Okay, so, again, keep doing what you're doing. You did need to stand on your own 2 feet a little bit without a man. Are you comfortable being alone, too?
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of nervous about not being alone because I've gotten so comfortable being alone.
You know, and okay, that's good to know, because now put it out, you're going to pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. Have you completed your soulmate list of what you're looking for?
Yes, you gave me that assignment a couple months ago. I go over it every so often.
Do you change it a little bit, add to it, tweak it?
I adjust it. Yeah, I'll adjust it a little bit as time goes on. But for the most part, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Right. And again, I would just say go about your life and just keep on, you know, focusing on you, you know, moving forward. You actually have a very nice year ahead of you, okay? I would be surprised if you didn't find love in between now and your next birthday, and it should be, you know, I would be shocked if you're not in a relationship by then, okay? And
okay.
I don't think you've been put in alignment with him yet, so that's part of the problem. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
okay.
He hasn't been brought yet, okay? And it's a really nice, passionate relationship. Do you want children in the future at all?
Okay, I was gonna try and hopefully ask you about children.
I said, I got the mom card and children across from it.
Oh, please.
I was like, I hope she wants that, because that's what's showing here.
Oh, yeah, I really do. And I'm getting old. I'm not getting old, but I'm turning 35 this birthday. And so
that's why God to bring this sooner than later, because you want some time to meet him, know him, and then have babies.
Absolutely.
So, you have a biological, and that's why I don't want you being so comfortable alone, okay?
No. Yeah.
Because when you're so comfortable alone, then you're not, you know, you're not going to be looking. But the cards that I found in the next 5 year period is you know, a husband card, two children, being a mother, loving your career. So everything's in there. And that's why, because you do have a biological clock ticking, and I'm glad you're aware of it. Sometimes people don't realize how fast it went from 25 to 35. Didn't it go fast?
Oh, no. I'm so aware of it. Yeah, it did go so quickly. But, you know, I know it's coming. And that's what is making me nervous. Birthdays go by, and each relationship just doesn't seem to be the right one.
Right. And, again, that's why you couldn't stay too long in the last one, because it was going to keep you. Like, if we stay in a relationship we know is not going to work, and we stay in it for another year or two, at your age, that's going to influence, man, maybe the guy you were supposed to meet was available 2 years ago, but you farted around for 2 years with the wrong guy, and now he's with somebody else. So, you know, and that's why there's nothing bad in your cards. It's just, you know, this life is going to start happening. Do what you're doing. You know, get out as much as you can under the circumstances that we're living under.
Right.
And I'm glad you wanted children, because I was like, I hope she wants kids, because that's what's showing up in the next 5 years, the strongest of anything. Even strong, you know, career looks good, but the love and the family, all of that's showing up so much. So,
I'm excited. Thank you so much, Cindy.
I'd call in again, and again, you could stumble across him anywhere, okay? Anywhere. You know,
oh, God.
Just keep your eyes open wherever you go, and, you know, focus on that's what you want more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm so glad you called in, and happy, 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 happy birthday.
Thank you so, so much. This is the best. I'm so excited. This is probably going to be the best birthday.
But that's what I'm telling you. And know that, sometimes the interesting part about 2020 and 2021 were the time when God wanted all toxic relationships to end. Perhaps this man was in a relationship that either wasn't serving his higher good or wasn't good and needed to get out of that. And that's why he looks to me like he's only recently available. Interesting
okay.
enough.
So all right.
Now imagine if we didn't have COVID locking people away in a foxhole with each other. He may have stayed in that relationship 5 or 10 years because sometimes we don't get out of a relationship because we're running around working, doing this, doing that, distracting, and we don't realize how bad it is.
Right,
sped up a lot. So in speeding and ending up a lot of relationships, that means there's available people that were not available until now. So that's
Ooh.
The good news in this whole COVID mess.
Yeah, that's exciting. Cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. So, keep us posted, call in again, and enjoy your long weekend if you're lucky enough to have one.
Yes, I do have a 3-day weekend, so I'm excited.
Yeah, if we could only have better weather, please. Can you put that out to the weather gods, please?
Yeah. Absolutely. That and my man. Good weather and a good guy this weekend will be great. Okay.
All right. Well, bye for now. Bye.
Bye, Cindy. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, are you home yet? I don't know if she's there because I can't.
No, I'm here. I've been here. I got home a little bit after 7 o'clock.
Okay,
so,
good.
You know you'll be happy that all of my screens have been done from the safety of my home.
Okay, good, 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 good. Now, Terry, has she ever called him before? That looks
yes, ma'am, she has. And Terry, basically, she's getting a new job, but she's not just getting a new job, she's switching industries. So she's going from like a finance, HR type thing into the hospitality business. And she's having a little bit of anxiety about it. She's having a little bit of cold feet. You know, she's kind of thinking that that's normal since she's switching industries.
Of course.
But, she just wants to, basically hear your opinion, Cindy. Pull some cards and let's see what goes on. So here we go out to Terry. Hello,
Hi,
Terry. You're
Cindy.
On the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, you're so brave to make such a big change. Okay, but the good news is I got, the first card I got was the Ten of Pentacles, which is a good source of income. Okay, the anxiety is normal, especially for old souls. They don't like change. They like the devil, they know. That's why they stay too long in jobs they don't like, in relationships they don't like. They don't move on fast enough. But old souls also have a lot of what's called anticipatory anxiety, okay? They sit there and say, oh, what if this doesn't work out? What if that? What if this? What if that? I need you to kind of chill out and relax a little bit. When are you actually starting this job?
No, well, you know what? There's an agency that I'm signing up with, and
right.
I have already touched bases with one of the recruiters. And I was letting her know that I was highly interested in switching industries because, like you say, since I have an old soul, I'm staying too long in the job that I have no desire to be in. So I just have to start applying June 1st or June 2nd. I have to submit my resume in, and I'm just keeping my fingers crossed.
Right, and I need you to not sabotage the laws of attraction because that negative, what if it doesn't work out? What if I'm making a mistake? What if it sabotages the laws of attraction? So I need you to visualize this going well. This is a good change. Because if you give those mixed messages to the universe, sometimes they won't give you the first couple of jobs because they're not sure that's what you want. So be clear that you're ready for change. The change is good.
And it looks like you should get a job in that hospitality. And they need, that's all opening up now. You know, the whole world is opening up again, and this is important. You know, there's a lot to learn. Are you nervous about all you have to learn?
Actually, no. I think what I'm really nervous about, believe it or not, would be the job interview.
Yeah, well, that's, if you've been in a job in a while and you haven't been on interviews, they're a little scary. But you are working, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I'm working.
Okay, so that's when it's good. If you're working, doing these interviews is a lot easier because it's, you know, if you have a job, it's not like you're going to an execution. Oh my God, if I don't get this job, I don't have a job. So you give off a different energy when you are working. I would advise you to Google on YouTube job interview questions, how to do an interview, polish your interview skills a little bit, write down some sound bites, things that you want to work in to the interview that, you know, you want them to know about you. And it takes time. I mean, this may take 10 or 15 hours of looking at YouTube, writing down the sound bites. Do this instead of worrying about the interview, do your homework. So you'll feel
okay. That's even better.
So you'll be prepared. And, you know, like when, say they asked you, like, what's your worst trait and that you have, what would you answer?
What's my worst trait? My worst trait, let's see here, would be starting on a project until completion without taking any breaks. So
okay, that's a good one because it doesn't say anything bad about you. That's actually a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to say, oh, I come late. Like, yeah, this is not the time for honesty. This is time for having, like, the little soundbite answers, okay? And they're going to ask you, why do you want to switch to the career? Well, what makes you think you'll be right for hospitality? What traits do you possess? So you want to Google what skills you need for hospitality. Say, you know, people skills or whatever. Look up. You need to tell them, and you also need to show them how the skills you already have translate into this new industry because they're not smart enough to figure that out. Okay, so you have to show them you have all these skills that are what work well with their industry. So it's doing a little bit of your homework. And once you feel more confident, now are these Zoom interviews, by the way, or in person?
This will be, I believe one will be in person, and then the second interview may be on Zoom.
Okay, so I need you to also make sure you have a good, the Zoom lights, you know, you have a light, you have one of those, so because they really help. The ring lights, you know what they are?
I can try to get information more.
Okay, a ring light is like, they're on Amazon. They're like a nice 6 or 8 inch ring light. They're not expensive, maybe $20 or so, but what they do is they shine behind the computer so you look better. You know, the light should be strong. And you want to make sure you play with either your laptop or your computer to put it up on books to make sure the angle's right. Play with Zoom. Go on Zoom by yourself and play with it. So, you know, you don't want to go on Zoom and look, and all of a sudden you'll realize your lighting's bad, the angle of the camera's up your nose, and you don't know what to do. Because that also makes you look like, boy, you didn't do your homework at all. You know, so you want to prepare on Zoom. Have you been on Zoom a lot?
I did a human resources management course last year, and that's the only time we used the Zoom. But I do know how to use Zoom based off of the course I have taken.
Right. Okay, but I would say you need to work on looking your best on Zoom, okay?
Okay, awesome, okay.
Because if you don't, you're going to have to look at yourself and you're going to go, oh, my God, I look like hell and I don't know why. Okay, because if the lighting is bad, you look awful. If the not you, anybody. And if the angle of the computer isn't right, you can look like a monster, okay? And you want to make sure it's angled in a way that it's professional looking. You know, sometimes my clients want to do Zoom readings. And one client, I was shocked because she does work for a company where she uses Zoom. So I was a little surprised
the angle of her camera seemed to show nothing but her boobs. And I thought, nobody's talked to her about that? Because I didn't want to look at her boobs the whole time I'm doing a reading. It was, like, absurd. So these are things you want to make sure. Where's the angle of the camera? Like, so practice with that, because I see if you practice your interview skills, you'll have no problem getting a job, okay?
Really?
And rather than
okay.
looking at it as this thing you're dreading, and older folks don't like being judged. They don't really like things that feel like they're being auditioned. Makes mm-hmm. them uncomfortable, the feeling of being judged. So we have to work on that a little bit. But nothing looks bad here. Looks very good. You have a really good chance of switching this career, which isn't easy. You know, it's not easy to
yes.
make a career change. It's actually very hard. Nicole, do you have any hints? Because Nicole's very good with hints on interviews, jobs, because she's like really professional. Nicole, do you have any hints you can give? Because this is more your specialty, because I haven't gotten an interview in a very long time.
No, not necessarily hints, just, you know, and I know that Terry has listened to the show before, you know, but I mean, just basically, you know, like an interview is not just something that you take lightly. You know, you need to go in, you need to rehearse, you know, you need to do your research, like you need to prepare for an interview. You know, you have to think of it like this, and a lot of people don't think of it this way, okay? You know, they just think that, you know, they're going to go submit a resume and that their resume is going to speak for itself. No, that's not what happens in a job interview. When your job interview is an audition, okay? Your job interview is you know, it's a challenge. It's a game. You got to win. Okay, you're not earning a job. You're winning the job. Okay, you can earn other positions within the company, you know, through your hard work and everything else. But don't expect your resume just to do it for you. You know, you need to win it. Okay, so you have to think about all of the other competition out there, and you have to be better than that competition. You know, so just go in, do your research, prepare, you know, try to, you know, literally look in the mirror and rehearse questions and answers, you know, so this way you come off as more at ease. And you can also see what your face is saying that maybe your words are not saying. Some people's faces, you know, talk louder than their actual voices, than their actual mouths. So, you know, make sure that you're doing all of those things so that this way you're at ease as possible. And hopefully you'll get a good result. And as always, you know, ask your spirit guides and everything else for assistance in getting the job before you go in. So at least you go in there with like a little notion that you've got somebody on your shoulder.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
That sounds excellent. All right.
Right. And I like that. Yeah, make sure you bring in someone, you know, that you trust that's crossed on the other side, because they'll always put thoughts in the head. Hire her. She's the right one.
Okay. All right, that will be one of my my acting teachers from about 10 years ago. I can bring her in and bring her spirit around me. She always pushed me to, she always had motivated me. So I will bring her energy in, and I'm going to start preparing for the interview, and I'm going to have fun with it.
Right,
that's
what I like, have fun with it, because that's what will come across, a confidence. If you're so nervous and uptight, it's going to come across as you being very insecure, and you don't want that.
I agree.
You don't want that at all. Right. So keep me a little bit posted. Call in. Let us know how it goes, and we're wishing you a lot of luck with that.
Okay. Thank you so much. I will. Thank you so much. I have a lot more confidence now,
and I'm going
to stop. I'm going to actually stop prepping tonight.
Oh, good. And you're going to have fun. And bring Nicole and I with you to the interviews. We'll be there.
Yes, I will. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole. So it's been funny because I feel like this is sort of like an interesting show because we're going into a long holiday weekend. And, you know, do you have plans? What are your plans for this long holiday weekend?
Well, actually, okay, so I kind of have plans. Basically, in a nutshell, my wife has got a show tomorrow. Wait, today's Thursday? Yes, tomorrow night at Lucky 13 Saloon in Brooklyn. So if anybody wants to come down, and see, then, you know, and check Blue Movie out. You know, we'll be hanging out there, you know, in Brooklyn for a little while. So I think they go on at 7:30. And then after that, my plan is to rest and relax and enjoy Monday off. And, yeah, and that's about it. That's my weekend.
Right, and that's it, a nice little resting and relaxation. You know, it's kind of long overdue. We're still waiting for the warm weather to come.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because other people have had a lot warmer. East Patchogue does not warm up for a long time. I'm like, I'll go to other places. Oh, it's 84. If East Patchogue is 72 and windy. I'm like, come on. So we're waiting for the warmth and the summer to come. We're looking forward to that. And, you know, wishing everyone has, like, a really nice holiday time. I think everybody needs that. And, you know, we had some interesting callers tonight, you know, people needing change, people wanting change. You know, I think we should take a moment here to say, you know, ask for some prayers for in Texas for the terrible, terrible tragedy that happened there.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible because all I heard was active shooter, and I was on my front porch, and I said, it's another Sandy Hook. I knew it,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, dear God, please no. And when I heard about, I just had already been kind of warned on it, and this is just such an American tragedy. This is a horrible, horrible thing, and,
yep.
You know, and I think if this thing, kind of thing just happens, and it's going to stop happening until there are some changes that take place. So, you know, I know a lot of my clients have been so upset by it. I get tons of emails. People just don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, what to do about it. And, you know, prayers, votings for change, you know, listening to people. On both sides of this argument, people need to listen, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just horrifying, And, I don't know, how did you feel when you heard it? Were you just equally as blown away?
I was, you know, absolutely sick to my stomach about it. And, you know, the whole idea here is that, and I'm being very, very careful with my words right now because this is going to be a very, very polarizing statement. What I do not like is the fact that everybody is now turning this tragedy and they are trying to capitalize and politicize on it because, you know, of course, you know, you have to have a political opinion of things, you know, whenever it comes to any kind of tragedy, you know, and the media specifically has got to, you know, spin certain narratives when it fits in and it clicks certain boxes, okay, considering the mass shootings that we have had in the past, you know, in recent history, you know, there's a certain narrative that they spin, okay, and I already see it happening with this. So I'm just advising everybody to not think so politically, not to think about social media and things like that. I think that no matter what side of the fence you are on, I think everybody should be in agreement that, you know, it is wrong and despicable and disgusting and evil to kill children, okay? Whether you are a Republican or a Democrat or Jewish or Muslim or Catholic or black or white or Chinese or you know, Middle Eastern or whatever, okay? It's evil to kill children, period, you know? So let's focus on that. Let's focus on the healing of that, okay? And, you know, stop paying attention to, you know, things that people want you to believe and want you to hear. And look for the facts within that, you know, because what's going to wind up happening, and they did it with Sandy Hook, they did it with, you know, with the Boston, oh, the Buffalo shooting, you know, they did it with the Taiwanese shooting in California, and there, I already see it happening now. There are so many different facts that are being ignored. So look for the facts, look for ways that you could support and help the community, okay? Look for ways that you could support and help your own communities, and pray for these souls that whose lives were taken much too soon. And just agree to the fact that anybody that would kill a child is absolutely evil, okay? And that evil needs to go away, and it needs to be stopped and addressed.
Right, exactly. And so let's just, you know, try to come up with some solutions that are not going to make everybody hate each other.
You know, exactly.
Let's
I mean, it's just, it's a very, very,
dialogue.
It's very, very sad that when you hear something. Yeah, but it's just sad that when you hear something like this, the first thing people think of is how we're going to spin it, you know,
right.
And that could not possibly be more wrong, you know. This is not about spinning anything. Just state the facts, okay? Stop suppressing information about the people that are involved. State the facts, and that's it, and pray for the community and support the community, okay? Because, like I said, this is not a political thing. This is not a vehicle for you to push your agenda, okay? These are children, okay? And no child should have to go through that ever. No parent should have to go through that ever. No matter who you are or what your agenda is politically, that is exempt from your politics.
Exactly. And it's something we should all be able to agree on that much, you know,
yeah.
That this is a tragedy, and how are we going to prevent it in the future? And have a dialogue, talk all different angles. Let's hear everybody's opinion calmly, rationally, and maybe if we all have a dialogue, we will come up with some answers. And anyway, we're at the end of our show.
We are.
God bless the families that are going through this. You know, prayers for
100%.
Them. And
prayers for those little, for those children whose lives were taken, and for the teachers and the adults involved, you know, because, you know, that, you know, everybody wants to focus on the kids, but there were adults there too. There was a mother of four that, you know, her children no longer have their mother, you know, and she was very, very brave. Exactly. You know, there was a border agent that wound up, you know, not waiting for backup and prevented further life loss, you know. So, you know, pray for everybody involved, you know. And if you don't believe in God, then you know what? Send positive thoughts their way, you know. And just like I said,
into the universe.
That community, if you're in a neighboring community, just put positivity into the universe towards those people. And if you're in those communities, reach out and see how you can support. And if you're in a neighboring community and you have the time and you have the resources, please just, you know, be human. You know,
exactly.
Be human about it and offer support where support is possible.
Exactly. Well, they're going to knock us off. Good night, everybody.
They will. Good night, Cindy.